I'm going to open us up in prayer, and I want to lead us to pray for two things in particular. This morning, our student ministries pastor, Pastor Baldwin, his mom went into the emergency room. He's actually not here this morning because he's there with her, and so I want to lead us to pray for them. And I think it'd be really encouraging if you have his phone number, if you could just text him and just encourage him this morning. All right, so I normally don't encourage texting in the service, but go ahead and text Pastor Baldwin and encourage him this morning if you have his phone number. I think that would really encourage him this morning, and we're going to pray for that. And then also, we're just going to pray for everything that's happening in Texas and Florida. And you know, our Vineyard brothers and sisters, there's some Vineyard churches that were affected in all of this, and so it does hit close to home. Actually, our national headquarters is in Sugar Land, Texas, which is close to Houston, and that their church was actually affected. They were able to do fine, and actually they're being used right now as just a relief center. So we're gonna just pray for them. And then and as you saw in the announcements, Convoy of Hope is our Vineyard arm of international relief. And so our church made a contribution to them, and I know individuals are, but if you are able to help and support what's happening in this country right now, Convoy of Hope is a great resource. So let's pray together. And let's bring these things before the Lord. Father, we just thank you for bringing us together as a church family this morning, and Pastor Baldwin's such a crucial part of our family, and he needs your encouragement today. And so we pray, Lord, for your breakthrough, and we pray that as these texts are being sent out right now, it would just be going out with encouragement and blessing to Pastor Baldwin. And bless his mom. We pray for Mrs. Chan for her healing and just for her great recovery. And so we lift her up to you. And Lord, we also pray for this nation in this midst of these disasters, and especially our Vineyard brothers and sisters in our denomination and the churches that were affected. And we just pray your provision, your blessing. We pray for rescue efforts and recovery efforts, and we just pray blessing upon that. We pray for Convoy of Hope. We thank you for using them so mightily across the world and in so many other situations, and use them mightily in this situation as well. Blessings on them, financial provisions for them. We pray that you would just stir in our hearts how we can give and be mobilized in that as well. And so we lift up this time to you. Pray that you would just encourage us during this time as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the title of today's message is, Where Do You Get Your Strength? All right, turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We will be in different passages in Joshua. I think it would be helpful if you had your Bibles in front of you. We'll have some select passages up on the screen. But I think it'd be good if you had your Bibles open in front of you. So Joshua 1 is where we're going to start off with. And I wanted to start off with a question this morning. And the question this morning is, where did Superman get his strength? Okay, so I have a couple of options up here on the screen. And so let's see how you do. By the way, I know there's some comic book nerds here. And just letting you know, I know that there's multiple ways that he got his powers, but I'm just taking the most popular one, or the Wikipedia one, all right? So where did Superman get his strength? How many of you guys would say A, B, C, D? And the correct answer is actually B, the yellow sun, all right? So Superman's from Krypton, where there was a red sun. He came to the earth where there was a yellow sun, and he got his powers through that, all right? If you don't believe me, you can look it up on Wikipedia, and it's definitely there. All right, so, but the question this morning is, you know, sometimes we're called to some superhuman feats, some things that really challenge us as a church community or as individuals. Where do we get our strength? So we're going to look at the Bible and see where we get our strength as Christians. How are we going to overcome some of the things that maybe even this morning we're struggling with, or some of the things that our church is called to? How are we going to overcome and be victorious? All right, so let's start off in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read 5 through 7. And so let's read this out loud together. Joshua 1, 5 through 7. Let's read. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. So at the very start, when Joshua was taking over leadership of the Israelites, God spoke these words to him. He said he's going to be with them for Joshua to be strong and very courageous. Certainly, these are the words that God speaks to us as Christians, right? As soon as we get saved, as soon as we become Christians, we believe that Jesus is with us, lives in our heart, and he's going to be with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. This is gospel truth. Literally, it's gospel truth. But I'm sure that there's some of us, maybe even this morning, we encounter certain things along the way that we need some extra reassurance that God is with us. Right? That sometimes we know that God is with us, just like Joshua, right from the very start. God said, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and very courageous. But sometimes we need a little extra reassurance. Let me give you kind of a silly example, but I just give this to you because I think that we'll be able to relate. My oldest son, Silas, who eventually mentioned him in the testimony, 4 years old, and we tell them this all the time, gospel truth. We tell them, Jesus is always with you. You don't need to be scared of anything, you know, and this reassures him in times when, you know, he has to sleep in his own room, or like you actually mentioned, on the first day of school, we encourage him in this, you know, Jesus is with you, you don't need to be scared of anything, you can go there and be a big boy, etc. And this encourages him. But there are some times where he needs extra reassurance. Like right before he started school, he needed to get a blood test with a huge needle, and we were telling him, Jesus is with you, etc., but he needed some extra reassurance. Joshua, he came up to a point in his life, although God at the very start told him, be strong and very courageous. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. But he came up against a situation where he needed extra reassurance. Can you turn over a couple pages? Joshua 6, verse 1. This is a situation that he came up against. Let's read this out loud together. It says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. This was a serious situation. Jericho was securely a fortress. And just to put it into perspective, I just want to tell you about those walls. There was a dual wall system around Jericho. The first wall was 6 feet thick, so about from the back of this stage to the front of this stage, 6 feet all around the city. Then there was another one that went 12 feet, so from the end of this stage to about the fourth row out there to about the middle of the room, there was a second wall that went around the whole city. So when Joshua was coming up against this wall and the calling was, go into the promised land, go and defeat this whole, all the Canaanites and everyone here, go and possess this land, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but he was up against a dual wall system that was in total 18 feet thick all around the city. You got to believe that he was kind of wondering how he was going to be able to do this. How is he going to be able to bring all of these Israelites now going around this city and knock down these walls and take over that first city? This was the first city. There was many other cities to come. And how was he going to be able to do this? Let's see what God has to say to him right as he's coming up to these walls. So Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. This is God's words to him, God's reassurance to him right as he's up against these walls, okay? Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Let's read it out loud together. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Many scholars believe this is one of the few Old Testament pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus. Jesus came in the New Testament, right? This would be one of the few times Jesus actually appeared in the Old Testament. God had already spoken to Joshua. God has already spoken to you in your Christian life. He's going to never leave you nor forsake you. But Jesus appeared this time when he was up against a formidable task of knocking down these walls that were 18 feet thick. And Jesus appeared to him and said these words to him. I want to look at it a little bit more closely. So verse 14 and 15, it says, Jesus had said, I have come. He needed to make sure that Joshua recognized that God was with him, that God was literally with him. And God needed to make sure that he understood this, so he led him to a physical act. He said, take off your sandals, for the ground you're standing is holy. He wanted him to do a physical act to make sure that he recognized that he was in God's presence. I have three R's this morning about how we are to receive God's strength. And the first R this morning is we need to recognize that God's presence is with us, that God's presence is with you. God needed to make sure when Joshua was up against a tough task, some of us this morning are up against some tough tasks, some things that are physical, some things that are in the spiritual, some things that are ministry, some things that are family, et cetera, some things that are church. And God says, I need to make sure that you understand and that you recognize that my presence is with you. Not just that. Verse 13 and 14. Jesus came and the way that he appeared, it says that he came with a drawn sword. And it goes on and it begins the description that Jesus appeared to him as the commander of the Lord's army. I got this sword when I got ordained a couple years ago. I have it hanging in my office. This is pretty intimidating, would you say? I brought it across the street this morning. People are like, whoa, 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 what do you, you know, like they were like all kind of, you know, freaking out about this sword as I brought it across the street. That's why I covered it over here, not to freak you out this morning during worship time. This was the image, right? It said Joshua looked up and he saw Jesus with a drawn sword. And he introduced himself. He says, listen, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. We need to make sure we know that we're in God's presence. We got to make sure we know who Jesus is. I mean, you look at this image here, you just think about me crossing the street. It's intimidating. And Joshua looked up and he saw this. He saw who Jesus is with a drawn sword. And he introduced himself as the commander of the Lord's army. But it wasn't just this, right? Because it goes on 13, 14. Joshua asked a very interesting question, a question that, you know, it makes sense that he was asking. He said, Joshua was asked this, and he saw this intimidating figure that showed up, and he's asked him a question, and he said, whose side are you on? Are you on our side, or are you on the enemy's side? Listen, that's an important question, right? When there's someone that shows up with a drawn sword and introduces themselves as the commander, you got to ask, you know, are you on my side, or are you on the other side? Look at God's answer. God's answer was neither. I'm neither on your side nor your enemy's side. Because Jesus is saying, I'm not taking a side here. Because Jesus said, I'm on my own side. He said, I'm on God's side. I'm on my side. And Joshua, as you're up against this huge task, 18 feet thick walls, listen, Joshua, you need to get on my side. You need to get on my side because I'm the one with the drawn sword. I'm the one that's the commander of the army. You better get on my side. That was a good word for Joshua. I think that's a good word for some of us here this morning. A lot of times we say prayers. And we pray our prayers according to what we know and what we understand. We pray for God to do our plans. What we think would be the right thing, we're going to pray those things. But I remind you, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ruth was here, and she was saying, even in our prayer meetings, even in our times of prayer, we need to ask God, what are his plans? God, what do you even want us to pray for? Because, God, we need to get on your side, not about our side or the enemy's side, but, God, what are your plans? Or let me put it like this for the other two R's. The other R is that we need to realize God's power. We need to realize that when we look up, we're seeing the commander of the Lord's army with a drawn sword. Or the third R as well, that we need to get reconciled on God's side, not about our side, our plans, our prayer requests, and or the enemy's side. But we need to ask God, God, what is your plans? That may not be my plans. That may not make sense to me. God, I want those plans. And we begin to pray prayers like that. God, I will need to get on your side. God, what's your side? What are you saying? What are you doing? And we begin to join ourselves with that. I felt like this is a really important message to preach this morning because in light of what God's doing in our church. So let me share with you a passage of scripture that before this year, before we entered into 2017, I felt like over and over again, God reminded me of this passage. And so on January 1st, the very first Sunday of the year, happened to be on January 1st, I shared this passage. So it's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46. Can we read that out loud together? This is a word to the Corinthian church, but Obviously, I believe it's for us and for our church as well, for this year. I shared that on January 1st. Here it is. Let's read it out loud together. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. So the specific context of this verse is about the first Adam, of Adam and Eve, in the natural. He came in the natural, the flesh. But the second Adam, in Jesus, he came in the spiritual to give us spiritual, eternal life. That's the specific context. But a lot of times, isn't it, that God allows certain things to happen in the natural? Because he wants to clue us in on things that he wants to do in the spiritual, in the supernatural. And it's interesting this year has been a year of knocking down walls for us. Right? We knocked down that wall, one wall in March. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be knocking down those walls over there, the lounge. It's been, in the natural, it's been about knocking down walls. But I believe that God has a message for our church that he desires to knock down some other walls. That he desires to knock down some walls in our lives that are blocking us from the fullness of God. That he desires to knock down some walls in the spirit in our church in order that we can merge into the fullness of what God has for us. That he wants to knock down some walls in relationships so we can enter into a reconciled relationship with some people on this earth. There's things that God wants to do. And in order for us to fulfill what God wants us to do, God asks us the question, where do you get your strength? We need to make sure that we're getting our strength from God. Because there's a lot of other places that we can get our strength. And God is calling us with a great vision. This vision, to see passion, pursuit, and massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world. Listen, that's revival. That's huge. That's beyond this group that's gathered here for sure. It's beyond us. It's beyond our ability. It's beyond our intellect or our whatever kind of powers or strength that we might have. It's beyond that. And the things that God has called some of us individually to do, it's way beyond our ability. God asks us the question, where do you get your strength? This past week in prayer meeting, Kendra was leading the prayer meeting, and she came in the prayer meeting and she asked that question. She literally asked that question to those of us that were gathered in prayer meeting. Where do you get your strength? It hit me so hard because I was preparing this sermon. I was meditating on this passage. And honestly, God was challenging me in just certain things of my own life and our ministry and our church. I asked you that question this morning. Where do you get your strength to do the things that you do on a daily basis? Where do you get your strength to do the things that God calls you to do? Where have you been getting your strength? Because God has an answer for us of the way that Joshua got his strength to do the thing that he was called to do. And God's asking us, how do you get your strength? You know, this is our vision of our church, but there's some things, that are concrete things I wanted to share with you this morning. Let me just put this picture up. This picture is a picture of a South African Christian school close to Johannesburg in South Africa. And Paul, our neighbor hotspot, you know, the fitness center that's right over there, he's been in regular contact with me. Like, literally, he calls me, like this past couple of weeks, like, all the time, text messaging me, et cetera, WhatsApp, et cetera. And his dad has since passed away, but he was a Christian pastor who started this school in South Africa, but it's since fallen in disrepair. So lots of situations in the school and the physical building, et cetera, that just not going right. So Paul's actually over there right now. He called me as he was on his way to the airport on Friday. He's over in South Africa right now trying to help with the situation. He approached us and asked us if we could help. And I want to tell you that this is an answer to prayer for the 26th. We're celebrating our 26th anniversary next week. This is an answer to prayer of the things we've been praying for years. We always prayed, God, open up the doors that we could have ministry partnership with our neighbors. Can I put it like this? I've been working at this church for 17 years, and we've always been separated by walls. They would go into their walls, and then we would go into our walls of our church. We'd have very little contact. We'd give them a gift during Christmas time, but that'd be about it. We would invite them things, but nothing would happen, you know, nothing would really materialize. And now, regular conversations with Paul Mavi, regular conversations with him on the phone, on text, on WhatsApp, and, you know, and he's asking us to help. And so far, our missions committee has approved some funds to go there, but Paul wants us to actually go and physically go and help and see if we can actually have some partnership. And I just want to tell you, listen, walls are coming down. God's doing his work. But the question is, how do we get our strength? I get overwhelmed when I think about these. I mean, when the stuff that's happening these days in our church, I get overwhelmed just personally as a human being. like Joshua, just getting overwhelmed when I think about it personally. And then God's asking me the question, where do you get your strength? Is it on your own abilities and your education? Or is it in a supernatural way by Jesus with his drawn sword as a commander of the Lord's army? Next picture, Pastor Ruben, you know, he was here a couple weeks ago. He's pastor of a Hispanic Vineyard church in El Centro. And he's not just the local church pastor, but he really oversees the La Vinas across the United States. And he asked me and a team to go in January to his church to do the similar thing that what he did when he came here, just spend the weekend with them, just hang out with them, for me to preach in their services on Sunday morning and afternoon, and just to break down the walls. How many of you know that we're a predominantly Asian American church? How many of you know that there's some walls between Asians and Hispanics that need to come down? And God's humbly chosen our church to break down some of these walls. Not just local church to local church, but we represent increasingly the Asian Americans in the Vineyard denomination. And certainly Reuben and his church represent the Hispanic Vineyards in our denomination. And God wants to bring some of these walls down. How would we do that? On our own intellect, we just go to and just get some education or with our own brute force strength. But it's got to be about the commander of the Lord's army, about Jesus and having an encounter with Jesus in this. Many of you know that some of us are going to Iraq in about a month. Some of us are going there for a couple weeks. Some of us are going there for a month. Listen, there's some walls that are up. The gospel message has not penetrated into the Middle East in powerful revival form. But God wants to do it. And I just want to humbly submit to you, God wants to use our church to bring the gospel penetration into the Middle East. I just had another meeting with a Christian pastor and ministers in the Middle East and the Muslim world, and I think that there's going to be some increasing partnership with him coming up. So God's doing all of these things. And when I start mentioning these things to you about how our church is called to all of these things, it probably sounds overwhelming, because honestly, just humanly speaking, it sounds overwhelming to me. But I think in this season, God needs to make sure, where is our strength coming from? It cannot be coming from our own intellect, our own abilities, or our own wisdom. It's got to be coming from a place where we recognize that God's presence is with us, where we realize his power, and where we start getting on God's side. And we say, it's not about my side. It's not about my opinions. It's not about my prayer requests. It's not even about my desires necessarily, but it's about God. And I need to realign myself with God's ways and God's hopes. Someone also shared with me a prayer that they were praying for me this week. And they prayed for me, and they felt like that I had been going through the fire. And so they started praying that God would rescue me from the fire. And then God revealed to this person that they weren't to pray that God would rescue me from the fire, because God said, listen, I have him in the fire because I'm refining him, and there's things that I'm speaking to him. There's things that I'm ministering to him in. And so you just pray for him in the midst of the fire, that he would walk through the fire in victory. Listen, I feel like that's a word for some of us here this morning. That we're going through the fire. And we aren't just to pray that you just get rescued from that fire. Because God has something for you in there. God has something of refinement for you in there. And we need to pray that you would get on God's side. And begin to let Jesus begin to fight the warfare for you. And that's how we're going to see the walls come down. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the worship team if you can come forward, prayer team if you can come forward this morning. And I am going to ask us, if you are comfortable, I'm going to ask us, just like God asked Joshua for a physical demonstration to recognize God's presence, I want to ask you if you're comfortable, and if you're not, you could just stay seated. I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and recognize God's presence with us right now. Right, so let's get on our knees if you feel comfortable. And as you get on your knees, recognize that God's presence is right here with us. Father, as we're on our knees, this physically symbolizes that we recognize your presence. We recognize that you are here. We reverence you. We honor you. This is holy ground. This is a holy moment where we are in your presence. And we just say we love being in your presence, and we need being in your presence. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you because we say we need you. We need you here. And Jesus, we recognize your power, that you appear now with your drawn sword and announce yourself as the commander of the Lord's army. We realize your power. We realize your healing power. We realize your saving power. We realize your breakthrough power. We realize your power to release us to our destiny, a passionate pursuit of God, and massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world, not on our abilities, but because of you, because of your presence in our church, your presence in our lives, your presence in our hearts, your presence in our ministries. We recognize it, and we realize your power. And now, God, we reconcile to get on your side. There might be some prayers or confession you need to pray right now of trying to push your own agenda, your own will, just pray your own prayer requests. I just want to give about a minute just to just do business with God. Or times that you might even be fighting God's will, that you don't know that God's spoken something upon your life, but you've been going a different direction. But receive God's word this morning. When God appeared, he said, Joshua, I am neither on your side or on your enemy's side. God was saying, I'm on my side. I'm asking you, get on my side. That's the winning side. That's the side where the sword is drawn and the commander of the Lord's army stands ready to fight. Get on God's side. Make sure you're on God's side. Make sure you're asking for his will, his agenda, his plans. Do business with God right now. Confess to him. Repent. Turn. It means turn and turn and say, God, I want your will. I want your will. Say it in your heart to God. He's here. He's here. His presence is here. His power is here. Do business with him. Confess to him. And get on his side. That's the winning side. Forget about your side or the enemy's side. We're here to get on God's side. Sword. It's got to be about his ministry.